It's time to listen different with Podcast 411, the podcast that brings you the 411 on podcasts, podcasters, and podcasting.
Welcome to the June 1st show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 podcast. On today's show, very excited to have as our guest, none other than the Podfather himself, Adam Curry. This will be a two-part interview. We're going to play the first part today, a normal length show, and then we'll play the second part on Saturday. Before we get into the interview, a couple quick notes. For those of you new to this podcast, we interview other podcasters to find out what they know, what they're thinking about podcasting. We also interview some people that are providing services into the podcasting world. If you are a podcaster or someone who's providing services to podcasters, send me an email at podcast411@gmail.com. Would love to have you on the show. Note about this website at www.podcast411.com. Our directory of podcast directories is now up to 42 different podcast directories. So if you're looking for a place to get the word out about your podcast, check out our directory of directories. This is just one of the many resources we have on our site, our commercial-free, ad-free site that is for podcasters and podcast listeners. We have some tutorials out there, and one that I am really harping on lately is the ID3 tag tutorial. Please check it out. If you're a podcaster, you need to read this tutorial. You need to get the proper ID3 tags on your podcast. Make it easier for Adam with Podshow, make it easier for myself, and make it easier for the rest of your listeners by getting the proper formatting on your ID3 tags. Okay, I think I've harped on that enough, but I'll probably harp on it again some other time in the future. No, I'm not going to beg you for votes over at Podcast Alley before the interview. We're going to go ahead and wait until after the interview to beg you for the votes. So right now, we're going to get right into the interview. Here we go. Adam, thank you for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
And I'm going to start you out with the first question. That is, what was your first computer?
My very first computer was a Sinclair ZX80, which I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yes, I am. There was the little flat membrane keyboard.
Right, yep. Right. Most people had who are that old had the ZX81, but the ZX80 came before that. And I had the big honkin' 3K memory upgrade module on the back.
To show my geekiness, I was in an Explorer Scouts group that was a computer-oriented Explorer Scout groups, and we bought like three of those Sinclair.
They were great, man. I love them. And I was working part-time on Saturdays. I was 15 at a computer electronics store, and they got the Commodore VIC-20 came out. I was really intrigued by that device. It was, you know, mainly a games machine. You could buy those ROM cards that you'd plug in the back. Started messing around with it, and we figured out how you could copy the ROM onto the cassette tape and then basically load it up. You know, after 20 minutes of playback, you could load up the game. You could basically steal it off the ROM. We built our own modems, and we built a pair of 75 baud acoustic modems, so I could literally call him up. We both put the handsets in our made-up cradles made of cardboard boxes, and if I hit a key on my terminal, it would show up on his screen, and that was my first real oh-wow experience with online communications.
A lot of questions I normally ask, I can't ask you. I mean, I can't ask you what was your first podcast, and I'm not sure if it's right to ask you which podcast you listen to on a regular basis, since you give that out on your show already.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I can ask this question. How do you define podcasts, what a podcast is?
Well, I would have defined it differently half a year ago, until I really started to look at what's happening and why people are listening and how they're listening. And I have to say that what's going on, and that's based upon my statistics looking at the downloads, is that anywhere from 15 to 20% of my listeners are actually subscribed to a show through the RSS feed. And the rest are either clicking it and listening to it as it comes in, or they're downloading it through their web browser and putting it on their MP3 player, which leads me to believe that once the excitement started and it had a name and it was called podcasting, and people start, and it was, you know, and I did a lot of work of promoting that in the press and letting people know about what was going on. It really dawned on me that people are in love with the content and not with their RSS feed. In fact, well, the fact is that most people who listen to my show, at least, and other shows that I have access to the data, that they're just listening because they like it and they don't even really know how to subscribe or, you know, or what an iPodder is. And they're just saying, oh, here it is. And, you know, I'll go to this website and there's a new show, and they click it and they download it and they listen to it however they listen to it. So I would have to say that it's really just a form of online audio, or maybe you want to call it radio, you know, that doesn't really matter to me, which is something that's been going on the internet for a long, long time. What really made it happen, and I think that is paramount, is the fact that we have MP3 players and we have iPods. That's what really gave people a disconnect from the network. It's asynchronous communications. You download it, you take it with you, and you listen to it when it's convenient for you, and you can also provide feedback in the same asynchronous manner. I'd have to say it is audio programming distributed through the internet, usually consumed on a portable player. That is pretty much the embodiment of podcasting to me at this moment in time. 6 months ago, I would have said, oh, that's a show that is distributed through an RSS feed. But that's just really not the case. Most people are just enjoying the shows, and they call them podcasts, and hallelujah.
Okay. Yeah, I noticed similar stats, too, on my site. I'm about 25%. Through my RSS and 75% on the click-throughs.
Right.
What I call webcasting and podcasting, that's how I
say it. Right, so it's interesting, right? It can, and you know, this is, I think this will change dramatically when iTunes starts to support podcasts, because then people will just say, oh, okay, you know, there's clearly already a large number of people who understand how iTunes works and how you get the stuff through the iTunes Music Store. These are, luckily, you know, not people who have to be very computer savvy. So I think there's a lot of upside and there's a lot of opportunity out there once people understand that they can get these shows automatically.
Did Apple explain to you where you're allowed to talk about how the one-click subscription is going to work in iTunes?
Well, Steve Jobs asked me specifically not to talk about the application. You know, he didn't put me under NDA or anything like that, so it's kind of a gentleman's agreement. But at the same time, of course, he wants me, you know, talking about it. That's, or didn't say that, but it seems pretty logical. Apple is not solving the one-click debate that is raging on the boards, on the iPodder developer list and the podcaster list, you know, if it should be podcast colon or feed colon slash slash. They're not going to solve that. They're going to do something very similar to what everyone else is doing. You know, there will be an add to my iTunes button.
I have to ask this question. Do you at all feel trapped with how popular the Daily Source Code has become? If you were to stop doing the show, it's not like where you were at MTV, it was part of the network. You are the network. And if you were to stop doing a show, it'd almost be to shut down the whole network.
That has pros and cons. I feel a dedication to the audience that's listening to me, so and that motivates and that makes me very happy to do a show. In fact, I was thinking, oh, tonight, you know, I'm going to do another show. It'll be ready for Monday. I didn't do one on Friday. So do I feel trapped? No. I do feel that I want to continuously innovate for myself. So I do feel that at a certain point, you know, if I'm at home in the cottage for a week, then it's a week-long show that has the open, it has the hit test, it's got all the stuff, because, you know, I have time to research it and get all my stuff lined up. So I really like the opportunity and the capability, actually, to do different, you know, different forms. And so maybe, you know, when we're stuck in Phoenix, it's just an iRiver with a microphone jammed in there. When someone stops by my house, and just to interview them. So that, I think, is the part that is a real easy trap to fall into, by the way, if you do a show, almost a daily show, is, you know, you got to find, just for yourself and for your listeners, I presume as well, is, you know, you've got to find new and fun things to do. So in that regard, I feel like, you know, I always have to be on my toes and get stuff going. But it's so easy to, you know, to create a show, and as long as there's some connectivity, you can get it up. I mean, most of the crappy work on the road is spent, you know, through shitty connections and uploading that doesn't work or breaks halfway through. But you can really, you know, do it anytime, anywhere. And even when we go on vacation, I think third week of July, I'll just bring the box along and I'll, as long as I can upload it, I'll create shows. You know, it won't be the same type of show, but it'll be a show, and hopefully interesting enough for people to stay subscribed and keep listening.
Well, that's good to hear, because I would miss it if it wasn't around.
Well, thank you.
you know,
what do you like the most about the source code? What pieces do you like?
Well, obviously, I've really come to like Jan Palet. I mean, even though he wasn't there in the early days, the hit test, but I like hearing the promos from different shows.
I like hearing
the new ones. You know, there was one promo way back when, I need to contact Don't Be Afraid of Opera, and I was like,
I've only like received 3 or 4 episodes of it, but I really like that a lot.
There's some podcasts that have come and gone that were good. There was one called My Pod's Forecast.
The pod drop. I love that one too. Yeah,
and it disappeared.
That's a great one.
It was so funny. And
the tap dancing podcaster news, that's kind of gone too.
Yeah, so that is one of the things of podcasting. You know, they do come and go. Podcasting does take time, and it takes effort.
Yes, it does.
Which would lead me to the next question, which is, how long does it take you to put together a show?
A source code, it's really in the preparation. So if I'm just doing something from a hotel room, it's like no preparation. You know, I might write down 5 or 10 things on a piece of paper that I just remember I want to talk about. I do that for pretty much any show anyway. So I've got a lot of it automated. I'm using some pretty interesting software that, you know, that does some things automatically, and I just kind of stack it all up in order from top to bottom, right? So I'm going to start with my opening, and then I've got my hit test in there and my PodSafe music and a mashup and promos, anything else I want to put in. So that may take me really no more than half an hour to prep it, and then I just do it in real time. I hit, you know, the recorder, and I do it all live. And when I'm done, I'm done. Then as it's uploading, because that always takes a little bit of time, I usually listen back to the show, and as it's rolling along, I'll create the show notes as I go. So I kind of, you know, make the best use of my time by not wasting it. So during the upload, I'm creating show notes, and then pretty much around the time that it's uploaded and it's ready to be posted on Daily Source Code weblog and on curry.com, then I have all the show notes ready, and it's just 2 or 3 clicks, and then I'm done. So in total, for one show, anywhere from 1.5 to 2 hours.
Now, how many emails do you get roughly a day?
Let's put it this way. I'm looking at my Gmail right now. I have 4,375 unread messages.
Oh, my God. I can't impossible. I can't imagine how you handle it. You know, I said that when I emailed. I just don't know how you can multitask what you do.
Well, the answer is you don't. You know, email is broken. It's impossible. You know, there's a lot of spam that you just kind of have to surf through. I like Gmail a lot. It's really working well for me because, you know, I'll see stuff, right? I'll see stuff scrolling by, and I can and in Gmail you get the sender, the subject, and then the first line of the email. So you can pretty much parse, say, okay, I know what that is. You know, I can get back to that. And then usually what will happen is I'll think, oh, yeah, what happened to that email? Did I answer that? And then I'll just do a search, which is real easy on Gmail. You don't even have to use the mouse. You can just use keyboard shortcuts. And then it'll pretty much always find that piece of email that I was looking for. So that, in that regard, it's really, really handy. But otherwise, you know, like yourself, you know, people who are persistent and keep emailing me, they always pop to the top of the stack. And I just try to deal with stuff in real time. I've learned with email, if you open the email and you read it and you think, oh, I have to respond, either you respond immediately or it'll never happen.
Early on, I wasn't as persistent as I could have been to get you on here because I didn't have my sound quality where it needed to be.
How are you recording this, by the way?
What I finally settled on was I'm recording external on the iRiver. I bring the audio out of the computer into a mixer, and then I have a mobile pre-USB, which is giving the phantom power to my mic, which then goes back USB into the computer for you to hear on Skype, and then out of the back of the M-Audio to the mixer.
Right.
That allows me to monitor the audio levels of you and me to make sure that they're good. I put it at the 160 record level mono, so the highest level mono on the iRiver, and bring it over that way. And
it makes a
world of difference from where I was. I mean, You heard my interview with Senator Edwards.
And I love that, by the way. That was awesome.
Thank you. But I had two key issues in that. One was the sound quality of how I did it at the time, and two was the fan on my G4 titanium kicked in the middle of the interview.
Yeah, I heard that, and so that totally ruined your mic sound, right?
Yeah, so I've since solved that problem. I now have a PowerMac G5, 2.7 gig, 8 gig of RAM. I pimped it.
Sweet.
I edit a lot on my podcast. I take out all the ums, the uhs, the dead spots. I try to keep it as short and concise so that people only hear the meat.
Yeah, well, that's your prerogative, and that's if you know. There's no rules. That's perfect. You know, my partner Ron, he couldn't imagine doing a podcast in real time. He wants to edit everything. So yeah, everyone's different, and that's perfectly okay.
Yeah, I mean, the first interview I did was with our buddy, mutual buddy, Chris Rockwell.
Right.
Yeah. It was so bad that I had to take it down. But Chris will be back for my 50th show. So me and Chris have already talked. So he's going to be on the 50th.
The anniversary poop cast.
Yeah. Oh, and it's a great show. And he's a person there where if he gets irregular, then you miss a few shows.
That's right. I'm sorry. I just couldn't take a dump the last 2 days. So there was no show.
Now, one other podcast I'm not sure if you heard is a fellow serious person with you, and that's Wichita Rutherford. And
no, have not heard.
5 Minutes with Wichita. Very good podcast. He was signed by Sirius a little before the pod show announcement.
Really?
He's on the Country Blues Bluegrass, I think, 31, Channel 31.
Yeah.
And it's just a 5-minute podcast, and he interviews country western star or bluegrass stars like Charlie Daniels. A very good podcast I recommend to listen to. It's very funny.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. 5 Minutes with Wichita?
5 Minutes with Wichita.
Humorous interviews with bluegrass and country music stars. Wichita Rutherford is podcasting's first breakout star, says Rolling Stone magazine.
What's interesting is he never did anything in audio or radio, had no background in it. So
oh, great picture on his website. That's hilarious. WichitaRutherford.com.
He's someone you should have on your show sometime. He is one of the most genuinely nice people you'll ever talk to. He loves what he's doing, and he's having a blast doing it.
Looks great. I'm going to subscribe to this right away. That's great. Fantastic.
Now,
thanks. Good tip. I'll definitely check him out. He looks pretty funny with his hat and his iPod.
Oh, he is. He's a great guy.
And I presume it's 5 minutes each podcast.
Yeah, it is 5 minutes, and it's a nice short podcast.
Yeah, I like that. I want shorter podcasts and longer promos. That's my mantra for the next month.
One of the things I see two people doing is more skits. Like, I consider Jan Palette's almost a skit than a podcast.
Yep.
That fits into other people's podcasts.
Yes, yes. And I call it an item. But, yeah, item or a skit, absolutely, okay. Yeah. This is great. I mean, that's really, when you put that out there, something short that people can include in their podcast, I mean, that's great reach. That's a great way to syndicate in addition to just, you know, RSS feeds.
That concludes the first part of our interview with Adam Curry. The second part will be podcast on June 4th. That's this Saturday. Obviously, if you have not checked out Adam's website, and I can't imagine there aren't too many of you that haven't, or his podcast, please do so at www.curry, that's CURRY.com. At the end there, we were talking about podcasting skits. Just wanted to point out again, on our forum board, we have the Skit Exchange, a place where podcasters who create skits can leave links to those skits. And if you're a podcaster looking for skits, it's a place to come and find skits that are pod safe to put into your podcast to have some material there. Finally, we were talking about Gmail in there, and I do have Gmail invites left. If anybody would like a Gmail invite, please send an email to rob@podcast411.com and put in the title Gmail, and I will send you out a Gmail invite if you don't have one. It is the beginning of the month, so it's time for me to whore and beg and plead and ask you to go over to Podcast Alley and vote for Podcast 411. Again, it's about 5 hours of my time to create this, 20 minutes of your time to listen, and only 1 minute of your time to go over to Podcast Alley and vote. You can do it from our main page. There is a vote link in big red letters. That's really hard to miss. At the end of today's show, our promo is going to be for the PK&J show. The promo for the PK&J show was done by another podcaster who's got probably the best voice in podcasting, and that's Scott Fletcher. And Scott has his own podcast out now, PodCheck Weekly. So go over to www.podcheck.com and check out his podcast. It is hilarious. He's got 3 shows up now. He is someone whose podcast, even though he's done a few, you can tell how professional he is. He's going to be around. He's not going to be, as he coined the phrase, a pod fader, which is someone who puts out a few podcasts and disappears, such as My Pod's Forecast. We had talked about my interview with Senator Edwards. I've gotten a few emails from people asking when Senator Edwards' next podcast is going to be up. He recorded it on May 31st, so by the time you hear this podcast, his new podcast should be available for you to listen to. You can go over to www.oneamericacommittee.com to check out his new podcast. And finally, one last note. I'd like to send out a congratulations to Tim Henson at The Distorted View for his 100th episode. Tim, way to go. You're still cracking me up after all these shows, and I am looking forward to laughing to the next 100. Well, folks, stick around for the promo for the PK and J show. Until the next time, as always, this is Rob reminding you to listen different with Podcast 411.
This week, on a very special PK and J show, explore a daughter's love for her mother.
I hope all you f***ers got your mom something for Mother's Day.
It's a story of compassion.
And if you didn't, you should be ashamed of yourself.
A story of a family member's mistake.
I didn't get anything from my stepmother.
Shame.
And a story of reconciliation.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Also, Jay discovers her love for Tom Cruise. The way he lights up a room with only his smile.
With that smile, I want to punch him in that smile.
Really?
Yes.
Huh, okay. And PK explores his newfound love for the Paris Hilton podcast.
But it would be really cool if Paris Hilton got a really detailed tattoo of an anus right in the middle of her forehead.
Wow.
And explore each other together.
Jeanette doesn't believe that the female actually reaches her sexual peak at 44, and she thinks that
no, it's... I believe it. I just don't believe that that's true for me personally.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I believe that.
You're already in your sexual peak, you believe.
Yeah.
And you're not getting any hornier.
Nope.
Just horny all the time.
Unfortunately, I'm not.
Don't miss an all-new PK and J Show. www.pkandjshow.com.